Welcome to Your Next Chapter. This is a production of The Heights at Avery Heights. My name is Siobhan Seffarelli, and I'm the Senior Living Specialist. And I have an awesome guest here today. Julia, welcome. Julia Jack.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. I'm good.
Yeah. So tell me, who is Julia Jack?
Julia Jack, first and foremost, is a woman chasing after God. So I'm a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Secondly, I am a wife, and I am working to try to be a wife and a mother that God would be proud of in the end. I'm a mother of five children in a blended family. So, you know, that really taught me how to love in a different way. You know, not just loving children because they come from your womb, but loving children because they were gifted to you and put under your care and trust. And that's been amazing because I think children, you know, my two sons that are stepchildren, they have their mom. Their mom is close by. She's not invisible. She didn't pass away. So you go through a period of competing as a mom, you know, wondering if they're going to love you as much as they love the other mom. So in that, I've learned that you love first and you get back whatever you get back. But loving first is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And then I am a daughter, a sister, and hopefully a good friend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in all those areas, I'm just really praying that I can be the best of each one of those that I can be. So, and I'm an architect by trade. So that's what I do for a living. And a woman, mom. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's me. That's awesome. I love it. I love the five kids. And I should, full disclosure, Julia and I are friends.
Yes.
I feel like we're Oprah and Gail right now.
Yes.
Or I can pretend I don't know. So who is Julia?
Yeah, I know. Who are you?
I know all the answers.
I know. You're thinking, yeah.
Yep.
I know.
Check, check, check. Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
So tell me about facing 50 women.
Yes.
Both of us are in our 50s. We've known each other 20 plus years.
Yes.
Actually awesome.
It is
a different kind of friendship when you've known each other that long and kind of gone through the roller coaster.
It's
got some stuff to it. But tell me about facing 50 women.
Okay.
F50
women.
Yes. I love that.
F50 women. Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
I would love to. So F50 women, you want me to tell you how it started? Around my 49th year, I was in a career in architecture and I had been working for 20 something years and I was frustrated that I was trying so hard. If there are opportunities at work, I would volunteer. If there are extra stuff to do, I would volunteer. I'd raise my hand. I'd try the new jobs. I tried everything, but I felt like I was just on a treadmill getting nowhere. Mm-hmm. And my marriage was frustrating. I felt like we were hitting up against the same walls. I was banging my head against the same wall and I was getting sick and tired of that. And then shortly after my dad's 79th birthday, he just literally dropped dead. Mm. You know, this was a man who was sharp. He was smart. He was sort of my idol as a young girl growing up. My dad was the smartest, the one in control. He had the control. And I wanted to be like my dad, which is another challenge as well. But because he was so sharp at 79, I literally thought he was going to live forever. I had been taking care of him for about 5 years. If you saw his body, you would know something was going on because he was in a wheelchair most of the time. But his mind and the way he talked and the way he read, he was still teaching himself languages. You know, one day I came down and he was going, I thought something was going wrong with his mind. Come to find out he's teaching himself Japanese, you know. Sorry, my light's going off. Hello. So this was a man who was sharp. And so when he just passed away that night, after we had been sharing stories, I was just like, I don't know what this means. I don't know where to go. And so, like I said, he was 79 years old. I was just about to be 50. And I said to myself, 79 is not that far from 50. You know, the first 50 years went by like lightning. Mm-hmm. And so I only have, if I get to live as long as him, what am I going to do with my life? That's not very far from here. So, you know, having been frustrated with my career and my marriage, and I was really ready to just be done with architecture. I decided I was going to do something simple and sweet. And I don't know, I don't want to disrespect it because, you know, sales is hard.
Yes.
But I was going to go out and I was going to sell jewelry or makeup, something a little less male dominated. Let me just put it that way. And, but then I look back and I said to myself, you know, I have been in this career of architecture for over 20 years. Mm. And so if I leave the room that I was able to build or get into, people, younger people, women, single mothers, working mothers, minority people, whoever had been through the experience I had been and want to be in that room, mm-hmm. I would not be able to let them in because I would no longer be there. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I decided to go back, get my architectural license because at 49, I still didn't get it. I had tried a couple of times. I failed. I quit. This time I said, I'm going to go back to get it with a different purpose. This is not so I can be glorified. So I can say, walk into a room and say, I'm an architect. Look at me. Hey, you know, you want to hang out with me?
I actually do that with people. When I bring up you, just so you know. So I do that for you.
Right.
My best friend's an architect.
Yes. That's a perk. Yes. Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah. So, but the purpose was different. So, you know, I sat down and I got there were 7 exams. You know, I failed one once. I went back, got the other one. So within the 8 months, I got those exams. I finished it and became a licensed architect with the purpose of helping someone else get to where I am.
Yep.
And so all of those different things built up to F50 Woman. And the purpose of that, I mean, it's sort of a long-winded story, so forgive me if I keep going on.
No, this is,
As I was going through this process of trying to figure out who I am and why am I here, what's the point? What's the point of all this? There's got to be a bigger point to it. Mm. I sort of put myself through, well, let me take you back. I was asked at one point to write my biography for an organization for women in transportation, transportation engineers. And so when I went through that exercise, I actually, instead of just writing a regular biography, I thought to myself, let me try to figure out who I was, where I had been. And so I ended up writing sort of a little short story about who I was. And through that, which I won't take you through that whole story, I'd love to take you through that whole story some other time. But basically, I came up with a personal brand statement is what I call it. Mm-hmm. And so that is that I am the daughter of diversity, here to change the world one woman at a time by helping everyone I meet to build unshakable character and do extraordinary things. Mm. So that's my personal brand statement. And it's sort of the F50 Woman purpose is that I want other women to at 50 and beyond to recognize and look at their story, understand why you're here, and let the next decade or two or three or how many ever you're gifted to have, which we know 50 and beyond can be tenuous. You never know.
Yep.
I want you to take it to your highest level, and not for you alone, but for whoever or whatever purpose is beyond yourself. Mm. So that's basically in a nutshell, quickly, what F50 Woman is all about.
Yeah. That's amazing. I think for myself, you know, being a woman that's over 50, I think about, for some reason it comes to mind, this might not even pertain, but like Rosa Parks. I feel like I love her and she pops into my mind a lot. Here's this woman that made a slight decision. And really, if you hear the story, it really wasn't. She didn't wake up that day and say,
no.
I'm going to change the world.
Yes.
She didn't. She just decided, nope. And it's like her purpose. She opened up doors. And I mean, I don't think she realizes, you know, at the time or, you know, whatever, what that decision was going to do. And I feel like I feel like our journeys are very similar in terms of, you know, being a woman, having blended family, you know, that I had that moment as well, that, you know, for being like Oprah, that aha moment as well, where it was like, I don't want to be in sales anymore. I was going to be a personal trainer. I was going to be an author. I had all these things I was going to be. And then all of a sudden it just clicked to me. I just didn't like where I was doing sales and marketing.
Right.
And so now I'm in, you know, here at the Heights, senior living specialist. I'm back. Like my favorite job was this role.
Yeah.
It just wasn't the right fit for me. And now I'm here and I absolutely love it. And I feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. And I feel like I can do a lot of good here. Yeah. You know, when I see my favorite moment is seeing people in the dining room after they've moved in and they're there and they're sitting with friends, they're enjoying themselves. And I walk by and it's like, it's almost like I feel like they're oblivious to all the steps that had to happen to get here. Because a lot of times it's the family doing it and they're alive, you know, they're at a concert, they're doing what they got to do. And so for me, I feel like this is my purpose. All my skills play into what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I'm doing kind of, and it's the same thing. It's like that same realization of, do I leave this arena?
Yes.
You know, even though there are women that do this, but are there enough women in this case, women of color, of diversity that do this? Yeah. There are several times where I'm in a room and I'm the only person of color. And it's like, do I leave this room that I've been able to make that headway? Again, not like Rosa Parks, by no means. I mean, that's still kind of like leading that charge. You know, I'm in an executive position and, you know, I look around the room, I'm really the only person of color that's in the exec. When I'm in those staff meetings, it's me. You know, there's other minorities. There's someone from, you know, different cultures and different things. And there's other women, but there's not. So it's, so it is important. And
in
our role in life, just like with our kids, is not just to be, you know, think about me, you know, and as you get older, it's like, what, you know, now we're the wise ones. We're that wisdom. We're supposed to be the wisdom that you know, when you read your, you know, we're both Christians. And so when you read the Bible, we're the wisdom, you know, that wisdom, we're supposed to be those wise old owls at this point. You know, that's my role. My role has changed. It's not about, you know, surfing and not that I ever surfed, but you know what I mean?
Hey, I do.
Partying and this and that and the other. It's about what, you know, what am I representing? What am I, what am, on a daily basis, who am I touching and what are the seeds that I'm planting that's out there? And I feel like that's absolutely, and that's where the reason why I wanted to have you on is because, you know, you're all about your next chapter. This is our next, this, you know, this is, you know, we had our first chapter is probably, you know, it's probably every, you know, generation, when we were 10, you know, we're in our 20s, we're in our 30s, everyone is the next chapter, but this literally is, you know, our next chapters. And it's like, it's not over. And there are people, you know, that are older that come to us that I do tours for. And it's just like, you know, they're just sitting at home and it's like watching TV. It's like, wait, you're still here.
Yeah.
You know, and here, you know, I feel like it gives people an opportunity to have that next chapter. They're not only impacting me, they impact the staff, they impact, you know, the young people that come in to perform, they impact, you know, the people around them. And it's like, it gives you an opportunity to continue to live your purpose. So I love this organization. I love what you're doing. On your website. And that's what I love about this is like, I get to know people, but then I get to like delve into their Facebook and their websites. And on your website, you write, it's time to be self-centered. Mm-hmm. And what do you mean by that? And you know, asking this question is because I know you don't mean it like it reads. It's not like the whatever, the me generation. It's not about that.
Yes.
What do you mean by that? It's time to be self-centered.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. It is nothing about the YouTube selfie
generation
that we're in. Everybody's got them on. You know, all the different poses.
No more duck lips, though. That's what I heard that from my daughter. No one's doing duck lips anymore.
You know? That's what she said.
I only know how to do it. No one's doing it.
I don't know what they're doing anymore, honestly, but I try to keep up. But being self-centered is not a self-centered or selfish thing, but it's being, what's the word I'm looking for? Having your... what is that thing that you pivot around? Center, I guess.
Oh.
What's another word for center? I don't know.
The axis?
Access. Straightening your axis. Yep. Axis.
AXIS.
Yes.
Paying attention.
Right. Yes. within yourself. so that then you can affect the world from being balanced.
Yes.
You know, I think, and especially in this generation where everybody's got an opinion, anybody can have a YouTube channel, anybody can be a specialist in anything. Right. There are a lot
thought
of leaders,
those thought leader. Right?
Yeah, thought leader, yes. Thought leaders. Yeah. And some of those thought leaders are crooked.
Yeah, not always.
Not crooked in terms of bad, but crooked in terms of lopsided or
your intention too. It's like, you know, in starting, because I had an organization, Women with Purpose, but in starting that, my purpose was to make money. So I'm off. It's like, right. So it wasn't working because it's like, I try stuff. It wasn't making money. So I stopped doing it. It's like, that's not what we needed to do. I needed to have my purpose.
Yes.
And then I'll get taken care of. Everything's going to follow
that.
If you're leading with the wrong thing, you're off. You know,
yes.
If you want people to stare at you, if you're being a motivational speaker, so that you're up on the stage,
it's
not going to work because you're thinking too much of what do I look like? How that sound? Da, da, da.
Are they going to pay attention? Do they like me? Yes.
Exactly. I get that.
And so that process you even went through, and I know I went through, where you're thinking about doing something else, you know, let me see how I can make money, or maybe I'll do something else. And then you come back and realize who you are, where you've been, what you're good at, what your passion is, and that you're going to find a place to do that thing versus trying to fit yourself into the place.
Exactly.
And then that's what self-centered does. And it's almost like a guidepost. You know, the personal brand statement I mentioned, whenever I start getting... you can start drifting because the world tells you one thing. You start thinking, I can go over here and make some money.
Yeah.
Or I can do this over here. Maybe I'll just, you know, even recently I was thinking, maybe I'll get into IT. They make so much more money than me.
Yeah.
But then what's the point? Yeah. Then I'm lost again.
Exactly. Yep.
So then I just come back to that statement and say, I know exactly what I'm here for and I'm not going to change, because, you know, anyone listening and you, Saban, know if you know, believe in any forces that are meant for not your good.
Yeah.
You're always trying to be distracted from the purpose that you're here for. And that is what being self-centered means. There's always a center around which you're doing everything.
Yeah.
And then you understand, you know, every post you put on Facebook, and I'm saying that because, you know, this is a Facebook, YouTube, Instagram generation, everything you put on Instagram, every conversation you have at work, inside your home, it is all with that same purpose of why you're here.
Exactly.
You know, even as people of blended families, I don't know if younger people would be listening to this. If you end up in a blended family, or if you're adopt, or if you get divorced and married again, you will be able to love and give and withstand a marriage that might be hard when you understand why you are here. What's your purpose? Yeah, it'd be easier to change your job. Yeah, it'd be easier to change your husband. Yeah, it'd be easier just to tell your kids to get out and move on with your life. You're making my life too hard.
Yeah.
But then at the end, what did it add up to? Yeah. You didn't learn anything. You didn't grow. You didn't help anyone else grow. You just walked through life crooked.
And I think a lot of times, you know, we spend so much time. I know I've spent so much time chasing happiness, you know, it's, you know, been married 3 times, you know, it's like, what do you do? You know, you keep trying to think this is new, this is new.
Yes.
But the one thing that's not new is me.
Yes.
It's like, okay.
We always follow ourselves. Yeah.
Let me stop trying to change the world.
Yes.
Let me change me. And by changing me, I will change the world.
Yes.
You know, it just, you know, the whole Michael Jackson, Make That Change. Look at the man in the mirror. I love that song because it's so true.
That song has
so much depth. It's like, I need to change me.
Yes.
By changing this, it'll change all around me.
You'll be amazed when you do that, how the world starts shifting around you.
Yep.
I'm not telling you that wars are going to stop. I think wars would stop if we all did that. But
well, it's a seed you plant too. Throughout the day, I know that, like, you know, when you're driving home to work and someone beeps the horn, it just changes your day.
Yeah.
You know, if you let it utilize that, then you go to work and then you snap at somebody.
Yeah.
That person said, and it's a trickle. So in a way, maybe it will stop a war. Maybe that little goodness that you're passing along will get to some higher up that'll go.
Yeah. And let me share a story along those lines. I was at a gas station. Sorry, everyone. I was on the phone with my husband. I had the earpiece in. I wasn't on the phone like this, but I was on the phone with him and I was backing up, getting out of a parking space. Someone was trying to get my space. So I wasn't looking behind. I was looking at them. And so I backed slowly into another gentleman who was trying to get his car jumped behind me. And it was a gentle bump, but it was a obvious bump. Mm. I moved forward to try to get out of the way, this car that was parking. And the guy in the car behind that I hit, he started walking after me, started getting a little bit angry because he thought I was going to drive away.
Wow.
I got out of the car and I was like, I'm so sorry. I wasn't looking. I apologize. You know, did I hurt your car? He was like, yeah, well, I was going to stay for a minute because I thought you were going to walk away. And he was about to get frustrated, but I was just like, no, I'm not going to drive away. Is everything okay? And so he came down.
Yeah.
You know, so if I got out of the car, like, what are you yelling at me for? Yeah. What's going on?
It escalates the situation.
Yes. So
we have the power to diffuse situations.
We do. Yes. Yeah. You know, and I feel like when you become self-centered and you know who you are and why you're here and what you're about, that you don't have to let the world affect you.
Yeah.
Because whether he is mad or not mad or had a bad, that's not my problem. It's not my issue. I know who I am.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, it really does affect the world. Yeah.
We'll get back to F50 women. Now I got it right.
Okay. Savannah and I could chat about this stuff.
I know. Right. We can go down that rabbit hole. That is for sure. Yes. So tell me about the podcast.
Yes. So the podcast, the idea with that is that women who are 50 and over oftentimes have gone through this whole cycle that we've gone through of, you know, challenge and recovery. Mm. Let's just call it that. And they figured some things out.
Yeah.
And so I know there's nothing more powerful than a true, real lived story. I know generations ago, we used to sit with our grandmas and hear about their lives and grandfathers. We don't really do that so much anymore.
I do. I have like hundreds of them.
You have hundreds, and you see that's, and it's such a blessing.
We put them
over in corners and don't realize there's one thing that we can't get, and that's experience in life.
Yep.
Living life.
Yep.
Age is the only thing that can give that to you.
Exactly.
And it gives you a wisdom that books just can't express.
Nope.
And so I started that to allow a place for women 50 and over to tell their stories, what they've learned, where they've come from, who they were, and who they're trying to be. And so that's what the podcast was meant to do.
And those are not just on your website. Those are on kind of Apple and.
Yes. Yeah. All the podcasts, wherever you can find your podcasts. Yeah.
You're going to have a link with this so that people will click on the link.
Okay.
Yeah. So I should have wore it today. I wasn't even thinking. And today's dressed out.
Oh, the t-shirt.
I should have worn my t-shirt.
Yes.
I think I have a picture though, so I'll probably put that up with me.
Right. Yes.
But yes. So tell me about your merchandise. And then we're going to talk about your community outreach, which I absolutely love as well.
Okay. Well, so the merchandise I have right now is a t-shirt that says F50 woman.
Yep.
You know, hopefully we'll talk about what's coming up next, but I have a lot of ideas.
Some tank tops.
But, you can get a tank top and I'm not sure how to relay it right now. Right now, the t-shirt says F50 woman. Sometimes some of them say because we're not done yet.
Which is I love. I've got both.
And yes. Yeah. Because we're not done yet. I think we get to 50 and beyond and we think, you know, we've done it. We're settled. Let's see when we can retire. But there's so much more to do.
Yep.
So that's what I have in terms of merchandise.
No.
What was the next question?
The community outreach.
So Habitat for Humanity is my favorite and favored organization.
Now why is that?
Well, I know, right? I wonder.
Is this about something you do?
Right. Yes. Yes. It coincides with architecture. Yes. So that's why I first got involved. Cause I said, you know, I sit behind the desk doing a lot of drawing and management and all that stuff with architecture, but with Habitat, you get to get out on site and actually build stuff, which I love doing. I love getting dirty. I love swinging the hammer.
Yeah.
But when the more I got involved with the organization, I realized that it's like a cycle. So what happens is you come in, you can, if you want to be a homeowner, you can request to be in the pool to receive a home. In that, you go through a cycle of financial training. They have social workers, and they put you through a cycle to help you to be a better homeowner. I'll just say a better homeowner. Go to their website, understand more detail, or actually get involved in Build, and they'll tell you all about it. But then when the person gets picked to get a home, they have to put in work hours in somebody else's home to help build it before they get theirs. And so, and then when they get the home, there are people who help them to continue to pay their mortgage, to help them with their families, whatever challenges they have. And then when you get the mortgage, it's not a conventional loan. So it's not something that you won't be able to pay off because, you know, the funds come from them. And then it just, it feels like then the volunteers volunteer and the volunteers get to understand more. And then architects get involved to donate their services and builders donate materials. It's a holistic program.
It's
that helps everyone involved. I just absolutely love it.
I love the fact that it teaches you. It's one of the things in this world that I noticed that we don't learn stuff like how to be a homeowner, how to pay our bills. You know, even to some extent, you know, how to be a parent. Like if we're proactive, we'll read up and do our own research.
Yes.
But there's no like to teach you, even like to be a boss or a manager. And these are things that somehow we're just supposed to know. And I don't believe in that anymore. I believe, you know, I try to teach my daughter, Bella, 14, you know, I try to teach her, you know, she always gets frustrated because she doesn't know how to do something. And then I stop her. I'm like, hang on. Didn't you just start this? You know, didn't you just start to learn this? You know, the pressure that the world puts on us is that we're just supposed to know stuff. It's not true. It's like you have to, and if you don't know it, people will tease you and there's peer pressure and it's like, oh, you don't know how to do that. It's like, no, no one taught me how to do this.
Yes.
And at some point, for some reason, someone believes that parenting should stop, but we really have to parent ourselves at that point and really have to like either ask someone to teach us or this program, which is great. I mean, you know, I look back at how to be a homeowner when I got my house. It's like, I don't know what I was doing and how to do it. And, you know, now I have a budget and all this stuff that I have. And like, that goes back to what you're saying, that face, you know, that F50 woman has that wisdom. You know, that knowledge and how to do stuff. And it's okay to ask. And, you know, a lot of times younger people, because I was a younger person and I know me, I don't want to ask the lady down the street who's 90 how to do something, but you know, do that because she knows how to do it. You know, her husband probably passed away and she had to bootstrap and learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important that I think it's sad. And I was talking about this in our previous episode. We were talking about a company called Age Friendly. She does greeting cards, but it's Age Friendly greeting cards. But we were talking about how, and more so, I think in America, the United States, it's like, you know, oil Olay, and we're slathering ourselves and we're, you know, putting up apparatuses to flatten our stuff, all this stuff so we can stay young. Yes. And it's like, why?
Why?
Let's age. I'm not saying let yourself go and your health and so forth, but allow yourself to age. If I got a couple of wrinkles, I earned those.
Yes.
You know, that's my, you know, way of letting you know. That's my advertisement of, hey, you know, I've done my time.
Yes.
You know, and I think that we don't look at older people as wisdom. Like we just want to put them aside and you know, let them talk. And, you know, someone who's in their 20s is trying to tell me how to do something, which they probably know stuff, but there's a lot of stuff, like you said, that comes with age and experience that you can't teach.
That you can't teach, you can't buy.
Someone who's young can, no way you can teach me how to do those things. Yes. And that's, you know, financials, emotional stuff, you know, relationships, you know, things like that. So I think that's important. So this is funny. I love this. 30 days of discomfort. I love going into your website. You know, being a marketing person.
Yes.
I'm like, who's buying this?
Yeah. So
what?
Who would actually do that?
Diving deeper. It's awesome. I mean, I printed it. I plan to do it.
Okay.
You know, because yeah, I'm OCD, I'm going to start on August 1st. So I will be starting in August.
Okay.
That's my OCD. I want to be first, second. Yes. But I do plan to do this. I do hope, I hope to have a couple of buddies to do it with me.
Okay.
It's phenomenal. It's, you know, so tell me more about this. Tell me more about 30 days of discomfort. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, when I was at that point that I talked about earlier, where I was frustrated with my job, my marriage, my I was taking care of my dad and my kids, and I was just overwhelmingly frustrated and stuck.
Yeah,
I just decided I'm going to try to, and I realized that, you know, this glass ceiling that they talk about. I always say that I didn't hit a glass ceiling. I know some right. people do, not disrespecting that, but I was hitting against a mirror. And that mirror was looking back at me, and I kept smashing into it and not seeing it, not looking at it. So I said, there's something wrong with me, that certain things in my life keep happening to me.
Yep.
So I decided to just try to do a whole bunch of things different. You know, spend a day of silence, not talking, not speaking.
Is that on this list?
Cause I'm not sure if that's on that list. I think I may not have put that on the list.
Wait,
that one. That one, being a person, working person, that one's hard. But I will tell you that one day that I didn't speak, I actually went to work, and it was almost like a spiritual experience.
Wow, I'm
not
sure.
Talking all day, even though you're in. I went to a McDonald's, and I had to sort of write down what I wanted to order because I couldn't.
Wow,
I can't speak.
My sister,
he thought I was deaf. He was like, "What do you want?"
My sister-in-law does that. She literally will go for like a week, and she goes to like some Tibetan temple or something. And, you know, I would love to do that. Just kind of like just nothing, you know, just say nothing. I don't need to talk. I'm talking now, but I don't need to talk all the time. The most freeing thing that I discovered is I don't have to say everything that comes into my mind.
Yes.
I used to like, oh, I got to get this. I can like, leave it on the table. I can walk away.
And you're not going to die. Yeah. You'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so freeing to know I don't have to speak. I don't have to. Yeah.
So like that.
Yeah.
All the other different challenges help you to change your mind, change your thoughts, change the way you interact with the world.
Yep.
Some of them in there might be, you know, saying hello to everybody you walk by, or, you know,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
And
for those people who are shy, just force yourself to say hi, good afternoon. And then some people look at you like.
They do, especially.
You know, they look at you weird, but who cares?
Where we are.
Yeah.
You know, in New England, it's true. And I'm that way too, though. If someone's not, people are so friendly. Hey, how's it going? I'm like, do I know you?
I know you.
In New England. Went down south to South Carolina. That's like.
Right.
People in your conversation. One guy was in, we were talking about an amusement park. He was like, hang on, can I help you out? Do you mind? And I'm like, but he was very helpful. And you get used to doing it. And then you come back here and you're just like,
nobody says hello to you.
A B conversation. See you.
Yes.
I think that started in New England. I think that
probably.
That's our state motto.
Yes.
We're not the nutmeg steak. We're AB, you know.
Right.
I love this. Yes. Day of silence is day four. Yeah. Say sorry to someone you hurt. Turn off social media. I mean, these are like things that you want to do, you know, but you just don't, you know, make a full meal for another family. I mean, walk or ride, you know, ride your bike to work. I mean, I'm excited because.
Yes. And if some of those things you can't do, like if you work like, you know, 10, 15 miles from your home, then, you know, alter it.
Yeah.
Or
I can actually walk to work. Now, when I worked up in the Berkshires.
I know that would be, I'm still trying to walk to work. It's a week later.
I know I had a 10 o'clock appointment. I started at 4 a.m.
Right.
Yeah, in this case, I can't. And I'm sure you, like you said, you can alter it. Maybe you walk to the store.
Yes.
You know, maybe you, you know, walk and or walk to the bank. You know, you're not walking to work, but you do something, an errand of some sort you walk to. So I'm sure, you know, you can alter it, but this is amazing. Yeah. We have to wrap up. I'm going to get back on for sure. How can people learn more about what you're doing and get your products? What's the magic website and how can you do that?
So the website is F as in Fred, 50 woman, F50 woman.com.
F is Francine.
F is in Francine. What did I say, Fred?
Fred. Yeah. You're F50 women.
Yes, right. Yeah, Francine, Fanny. I don't know. Sorry, Fanny? Ladies.
This is for older adults. So yes.
Right. Right.
Thank you so much for, is there another way?
Oh yeah. Instagram. I love to link up with me. Somehow link up with me. You know, more things are to come.
Yep.
Even this conversation gave me some ideas. I have sort of paused on the podcast for about a year now, really trying to think of how to make it meaningful to women and to people. Potentially one day, maybe, God willing, we'll have should I give it away? No, I might not give it away. Next time.
Well, definitely go on the website.
More to come. Yeah.
Do this 30-day challenge. I plan on starting August 1st. I might even document it on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's super, super awesome. And I'm hoping to get some other people to do it with me. But I do think it's a good thing. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much.
And all of you out there, have a great day as you continue your next chapter. Right? It's very Oprah-esque.
Yes.
And now I ruined it. I was just supposed to end with that.
Yeah. Do it. You have to do it again.
All right. Thank you, Julia, for being here. And thank you, all of you, as you begin or continue your next chapter.